Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is, January the 20th, 2015. Garrett here, 15. Backtrack, 2016. Garrett here, joined with Brad and Wade.
That's what happens when, like, it just turns the year. Like, every time you try to write the date, you're like, oh, wait, hold on. Fix this. Luckily, it's from 5 to 6, so you just have to, like, connect it.
Yeah, it's nice that you just have to connect it, but seriously, it's going to be November before I fully remember that it's 2016.
Yeah, I know the feeling. My last job wasn't too bad working in retail with vehicles because the next model year came out like in September.
Yeah, you were on weird years anyway.
Yeah, you had 3 months getting used to the next year before it actually had the new year happened. So it was kind of interesting. Anyway, how's everybody doing?
Not too bad.
No?
Rocking some home remedy at the moment. I've got a little bit of a cold, so.
Boo-hoo.
If you're out and you go to a Starbucks, they have a thing called a medicine ball. Apparently, it's pretty good. We are not endorsed by Starbucks, though. But, you know, I've heard good things about it.
Is it something they put in the drink that's like a... like an immune booster type deal or what?
It's like warm honey, ginseng, and all those like things that are supposed to make you feel better.
Oh.
Like to relieve stuff. So.
Ginseng's an item in energy drinks, yet they always complain about it in energy drinks, but now it's in Starbucks good.
It may not be ginseng,
well,
but
of course.
It may be because like, you know, you want to use it for energy? Here, if you're sick, don't feel you have a lot of energy, we're going to give you ginseng. Now you feel a little better because you have energy a little bit.
Interesting.
But hey, it might work.
Let's see. Wade, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. I just got the notice that I will have my birthday off in the next couple, the week after next week.
Nice.
Well, yeah, because I pretty much went, oh, yeah, sure, I'll reset my work schedule like a couple weeks back, but I want this day off. So, yeah.
He ultimated them there for that.
Well, I'm glad they were willing to work with you.
Willing to work with me? It's like, well, either you give me the day off or I don't have to do this for you.
Or I won't work with you.
That's right. And, okay, here's your final check. You're fired. Damn it.
They wish.
Well, since you guys asked, I'm doing okay. Thank you.
Talking to you?
Would have been awesome, except for the fucking Seahawks decided to only show up at halftime to play football on Sunday. Don't know what the fuck that's about.
That was an interesting game.
I mean, I can't even explain it. The Seahawks didn't show up for the first half. That's the only way that only makes sense. The field didn't change. Nothing changed except after halftime they decided to play football. Because after halftime they totally shut down Carolina. Had they tried that hard sooner, it would have been no problem.
They got their Starbucks.
Yeah, but they didn't.
But they didn't. And I mean, I don't like pointing the finger at certain players because obviously it's a team effort. But our quarterback had two long shots that if either one of them would have caught, probably would have been a touchdown. Which would have changed the outcome of the game. And if he would have thrown one less interception out of the two, one of which was run back for a touchdown, probably would have been a different outcome to the game. But if defense would have played stronger the first half and didn't let the other team score 31 points, it may have been a different outcome for the game. So, I mean, there's no right answer here.
That's a pretty hard blowout. I mean,
it's a hard blowout, but instead of turning tail and just saying, okay, we lost this, they came back and got it up to... what, 28 points at the end or 24 points at the end?
Mm-hmm.
They totally shut them down the second half. They just weren't able to capitalize enough to make it worth the damn.
And yet we still had to sit through it.
Luckily, we got to sit through it instead of Fox being assholes and changing it on us like before.
Seahawks
Unlike the wishes of one particular Indianapolis fan.
You know, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Seahawks are losing,
records, buddy.
The Seahawks are losing? Sit through it. Seahawks are winning? Later.
There was more the fact that there was no other game for them to change it to should they wanted to.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because they probably wanted to change it after about the first quarter. Ah, no one's going to want to watch the rest of this game. So find something else. There's we'll no other games right now. Shit, we got to play this one.
We'll just go to ESPN and highlights. We got nothing.
Yeah. So there's been some drama floating around on the internet, though, after the fact, because if you watch the end of the game, shame on a Seattle fan, but they were waving the 12th man in front of Cam Newton. And, you know, that's no secret as to the caliber of person that he is on the field. He's kind of a dick. But he grabbed the flag from the fan, threw it on the ground, and ran off. Now, people chalk it up to, well, Cam Newton just, he likes to have fun and blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. Did he pick it up after the fact and give it back to the person because it's that person's property? No. Was it the person's fault for putting him in front of Cam, who people know to be kind of a dick? Yeah. So there's been a lot of drama back and forth on the Book of Faces and all that, but I don't know. I think it goes both ways if you look at it.
That blasted Book of Faces.
That blasted Book of Faces.
Carried by the man of many faces.
Jesus?
Wow. All right.
The many face god.
The many
there we god. Go.
So, aside from that atrocity over the weekend, I mean, somebody had to lose, and we deserved to lose how we played, so that's what happened.
Well, we now have a feather duster.
Well, thank you for taking on that role. We appreciate it.
Your team's not even in it. Shut up.
No, my backup team is.
Who is?
Broncos.
Okay, and they play the Patriots this weekend,
they
right?
They play the Patriots this weekend, yes.
I will root for the Broncos.
Thank you.
Anything appreciate to keep that. The Patriots out of the Super Bowl again, because those fuckers. Anyway, and I'm rooting for Arizona this week because I'd rather have Carson Palmer, who lived out here, he's a Southern California guy, take it to the Super Bowl over Cam Newton. So that's my hopes there. I can't say their predictions because I don't know enough. Obviously, Carolina's the favorite because they've only lost one game all season. But I hope that it ends up being a Carolina Broncos Super Bowl.
You mean Arizona Broncos?
Arizona versus Broncos. What did I say? Carolina?
You said Carolina.
I meant Cardinals.
Yeah.
That's what I meant to say.
It's okay. It's a little late for you.
Man, we were there twice in a row. That's not bad. Won one of them. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
That happened.
I'm deferring back to Brad since he was not here with us last week. I'm sure he's got at least something to say.
You know, not much, unfortunately. Oh. Well, or fortunately.
Depending on how you look at it.
Depending on how you look at it. It was actually kind of a quiet weekend for us. Last week I was traveling, hence my absence. I was out on a site visit with a potential customer, so... The schedule on that was not my own, and I didn't get home until too late to join in the fun. So,
speaking of site visits, we had Kaiser Permanente in the office today. Not that it meant anything. They spent the entire day behind closed doors until about 1 o'clock, where they got the little tour of the building. But I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean that's how it goes with that.
I just find it funny because the whole company acted like, you know, elementary school where it's back to school night for the parents, so everyone's got to quickly clean up because you don't want to make a bad impression. That's exactly what happened yesterday in preparations for today. In the last hour of the day, it was like, quick, everybody clean up. It's like throwing that house party when your parents are out of town and then you find out that they're, you know, 10 minutes away from being home.
Someone called and was like, what?
Oh, shit, clean up. Can't let them see.
Yeah, that's almost the same thing as that at work today. Yeah. Oh, the vice president of the company is coming. Oh, okay, we need to make everything look good. Just walks by, doesn't even look at us.
Yeah.
Middle finger goes up, just like, whatever.
Thanks for wasting my time. Well, very good. So nothing else on the personal front. Trying to think here. Oh, I might be able to upload. I can upload pictures of this. I've talked previously about my bow situation, yeah? About it being damaged and needing a new one.
Yeah, somebody broke it.
Manufacturer defect, sir. Manufacturer defect. So
sure,
we'll go with that. Okay, that's what I'm going with. I'm not taking blame for it. Are you fucking kidding? So one of the guys at work has this shop that he kind of volunteers
at. I totally would have rolled with that. No, see, my pulls, I'm just too strong for it.
That's right. I mean, it was a 40-pound bull. Clearly, I need a 50-plus. Guy should have made it stronger, not my problem.
Yeah, you know, just way too much muscle on you.
That's right. So a guy at work volunteers at this machine shop, and he was able to make me two. He had enough material. He made me two vacuum form molds of the bow. So this weekend I'm going to work on making a foam positive off of the negative molds. And then I can play around with shaping it and, you know, removing materials. So should I cast it in aluminum, it's not going to be 20 pounds. So that's my update there. I can send pictures of the post up pictures of the mold. It's pretty cool. I've never dealt with vacuum form before, and apparently it was only like a 10-second process, so that's pretty sweet.
This just like reminds
me when you pull it back the first time and bend the bow.
Yeah, I don't think aluminum is that forgiving, but I've been trying to research different grades of aluminum to make sure I don't, you know, use some, you know, totally crap version.
We're just gonna use Coke cans. Yeah. Nah. No, this totally reminds me like of a Minecraft thing where it's you're gonna put another you're gonna upgrade the bow. You're gonna put something on it so you can put a slot on it.
laser sight. Actually, people do it and they say it sucks because even though you think you're holding the bow straight, your muscle fluctuations causes a shimmy in the target, especially as magnified as you go further and further away. Because it's not like holding a gun where you can hold it calmly, because you're holding a bow at tension.
Under tension, yep.
Yep. So, anyway, that's my next project. Quickly accumulating more and more projects, as is my habit.
Yeah.
You're like the guy in Futurama, Family Guy. Instead of projects, it's a piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy. Never really like finishing the bag.
Yep, that sounds like me. Yeah, pretty much sounds like me.
Didn't want to say anything, but yeah.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
Ooh, quadcopter. Ooh, bow. Ooh, this.
But the quadcopter's fairly complete. I mean, I'd love to do something to it, but that's something, the next step on that's like $400. I don't exactly have that.
You cannot attach rotary AMD missiles to it. It's not right.
It's not right, but that doesn't mean I can't do it. Don't dare tell me what I can and cannot do. What's that?
You did get it registered, though.
I did, yes. I am legal in the eyes of the FAA. All I have to do
is the important thing.
Put a sticker on it and keep the license, the registration information with me when I fly it, which is easy enough, and I'm solid.
Tie it to the copter so when the police ask, have it bring it in and be like, here.
Well, so what you do is when you register on FAA, you input all your information, and you have to have a sticker registration on the drone so that should you crash it somewhere, and they can track you down. If you crash it on the White House lawn, they can pull up the registration
exactly
number and know
who
you are. You know,
which happened, people.
A couple times, actually. And kind of my philosophy with that, along with everything else, or not with everything else, but most other things, is that don't be a contributor to the negative perception. You know, if you can go fly somewhere and you see a bunch of people around, go to an area where there's no people. If people decide to come over and talk to you about it, that's one thing. But don't be somebody who perpetuates the negativity. So, shit, that was kind of a tangent for nothing.
Soapbox.
Yeah. Well, I mean, talking about all my shit. Some call it character flaws. I call it character
building
points.
Flaws.
Shut up.
Okay. Moving on.
Should we get into movies? Or are we ready for movies?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. Movie time. In the releases this week, we have a few to mention. Three major, one side note. Number one is The Fifth Wave, critically at 33%. It is at PG-13. A 16-year-old Cassie Sullivan tries to survive in a world devastated by waves of an alien invasion that has already decimated the population and knocked mankind back to the Stone Age. Apparently, per the trailer, the fifth wave is starting to be humanoid or human mimics or alien mimicking humans to try to capture more humans.
So apparently they still had assault rifles in the Stone Age because that's what I saw in the trailer. I was like, oh, right. We haven't advanced much, apparently.
Liev Schreiber is one of the main names in this, and Maika Monroe is the lead. So, no, actually, Chloe Moretz is the lead.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, no.
Maika Monroe has top billing according to Rotten Tomatoes, though.
Yeah, if... I can never remember her name. What was the other one? The one who's the lead?
Chloe Moretz.
Yeah, she was a hit girl in Kick-Ass.
Okay, she's also been in Hugo. She did the voiceover for Bolt and A Tale of Princess Kaguya, which apparently looks to be some sort of an anime or definitely an animated film. She's projected to be in the upcoming Little Mermaid live-action movie. And... let's see here. See if anything else I can come up with.
I chose a role where like you could actually see her face.
Oh, she was also Carrie, the most recent Carrie.
I heard that. Tanked as well.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if this one tanked, but I know that Carrie tanked.
Yeah. Well, this one at 33% very well likely will tank. Number two coming out. No critic rating at this one. It is rated R, and that is Dirty Grandpa with Robert De Niro and Zac Efron. Jason Kelly, played by Zac Efron, is 1 week away from marrying his boss's uber-controlling daughter, putting him on the fast track for a partnership at the law firm. However, when the straight-laced Jason is tricked into driving his foul-mouthed grandfather, Dick, Robert De Niro, to Daytona for spring break, his pending nuptials are suddenly in jeopardy between riotous frat parties, bar fights, and an epic night of karaoke. Dick is on the quest to live his life to the fullest and bring Jason along for the ride, ultimately on the wildest journey of their lives. Dirty Grandpa is his uptight grandson, and his uptight grandson discover they can learn from one another and form the bond they never had.
The Hangover Part 1 rebooted.
The trailer for this looks hilarious. And I think, you know, Robert De Niro has been pretty busy lately. He's been in that another... I think he was in Joy with Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper. He was just in The Intern, and now he's got this one coming out. So he's had a busy late 2015 into 2016. But no critic ratings yet on this one, so can't say. Fans, 94% want to see this. So there's that one. Number three out of our potential four is The Boy. This is down Wade's alley. Again, no critic rating on this. Rated PG-13, featuring Lauren Cohen, who you may recognize from The Walking Dead. The Boy is a frightening thrill ride, directed by William Brent Bell, who did The Devil Inside. Greta, played by Lauren Cohen, is a young American woman who takes a job as a nanny in a remote English village, only to discover that the family's 8-year-old is a life-size doll that the parents care for just like a real boy, as a way to cope with the death of their actual son 20 years prior. After violating a list of strict rules, a series of disturbing and inexplicable events bring Greta's worst nightmares to life, leading her to believe that the doll is actually alive.
Yeah, like my horror in a nutshell.
Yeah, like, that's got you written all over it.
Well, like, I don't think we ever discussed this. Back when... well, younger, I would usually go around the house turning all the statues or, you know, little things.
If it had eyes, backwards. You hated it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. So, interesting.
Yeah, don't you start with me.
Do you still?
No, I don't.
So we had a pig sculpture thing in the kitchen, and it would sit across from where we would eat. We had a large peninsula at the house, and we would sit up at the counter and eat there. He would have to get off the stool, go over to the other side of the kitchen, and turn the thing so it was looking at the wall. He couldn't have it looking at him.
Wow, that thing was it was creepy. You want to see have something stare at you while you eat?
There was a little baby angel figure in the bathroom that would sit on the counter. When he went in the bathroom, he turned the thing so it was face down looking at the shelf. He couldn't handle it.
No one should stare at you while you're handling your personal business.
No one was. It was a figure.
You don't know if there were cameras in that.
I do know. I was there.
You don't.
He knows for a fact there was.
Oh, you disgusting. No.
Are you a Doctor Who fan now?
No. I don't watch Doctor Who.
I know
Who.
Where you were going with that.
Yes.
Weeping Angels.
Weeping Angels.
Dude, those things are awesome, though.
So you are familiar with them?
I am familiar with, yeah, there's that.
That's,
yeah.
That's your living nightmare right there.
No, because they have their eyes covered. I'm good. Until
you turn away.
Well, yeah.
So number four in the movies, this is probably a limited release. It is rated 75% on Rotten Tomatoes. Unrated as far as content. And it is Ip Man 3. Master Ip, played by Donnie Yen, is called upon again to protect his city from a ruthless gangster bent on taking control of the metropolis. Mike Tyson co-stars in this action drama. So the Ip Man franchise is a very martial arts heavy movie franchise. So for the fans of the series, here's another one for you featuring Mike Tyson. But it most likely is probably going to be a limited release. So be aware.
Check your local theaters.
That's right. In the box office.
I thought that was more popular than a limited release.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking. Rotten Tomatoes is nice enough to give you kind of potential show times. And the only theater that's available for this movie is in Irvine for us, which is Irvine's not too far, but it's not the main theater in Irvine. It's over by University of Irvine, so it's not even in like the big popular theater. It's in the kind of a back in the corner theater.
Hmm.
So. In the box office, a little bit of an upset here, so to speak, if you want to call it that. Star Wars is not number one.
Well, it's about time, honestly.
Number one this week is Ride Along 2, pulled in $35.2 million. Number two, The Revenant at $31.8 million. Star Wars pulls in a still respectable $26.3 million. And number four is 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. At $16.2 million.
Considering we are 4 weeks out
of Star Wars release,
yes,
correct,
yes,
yeah. It's been a month, pretty much on the nose. It was released on the 18th, and we're now at the 20th. So,
mm-hmm. And it's still bringing in numbers. There are a lot of movies that would like to have that for their opening weekend.
Yep, it's still top four after 4 weeks. So,
yeah. Not
good
too
stuff.
Shabby.
And again, since the movie's coming out this weekend, they're kind of hit and miss. Something to be aware of next week for the family, Kung Fu Panda 3, currently looking like it's at 83% critic rating. So for the kids, for the families, good to know there. And then we got Deadpool floating on the horizon. So that's, however, not a family-friendly movie. That is a very hard R, leave the kids at home. Preferably unsupervised. See what happens.
Well, yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly.
They can handle it. It's good for them.
And, you know,
it builds character.
That's exactly what I was going to say. God damn you. Son of a bitch.
Ha!
We all saw a movie this weekend, and I think it's fair that we at least mention it. And that would be Hotel Transylvania 2.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow. Lucky move.
Yeah, so that's a long time out of theaters.
It is a long time out of theaters, but we all saw it, happened to see it on the same weekend.
We did. Purely unplanned and coincidental.
I just grabbed it and was like, you know what? I saw the first one is while we were out shopping. And I was like, I want to see the second one. So I just grabbed it.
Yep. We got it. Actually, I believe that christened our Blu-ray experience. That was our first Blu-ray.
Okay, that's funny you say that.
Oh, God.
Are you ready for this? When we bought the movie, we bought a Blu-ray player, and it was the first movie in our Blu-ray player.
No shit.
fuck you not.
I am psychic.
We thought, you know what?
I know this
We've
is happening.
We've had a DVD player for too long. A Blu-ray player was only like $50.
Yeah.
We're like, we need a Blu-ray player. So we bought one.
And now, nice. Now I have the old DVD player up in my room.
Huh. Yep. Did you hook it up yet?
Definitely.
Yeah, it's already hooked up. We hooked up the same day.
They've definitely come down in price. They're well and truly in the affordable range now. But, it's been one of those things that there's still a premium on buying the discs. Not much, not like it used to be, but there is still one.
Yeah, but when you get the Blu-ray, you get a DVD also. And a
digital copy.
And typically a digital copy. So,
right.
Yeah, you're spending more, but you are getting more.
Sure. I can give that. But the increase in quality, I don't feel is sufficient to warrant dedicated Switch. So I guess what I'm trying to say is it has not been a high priority for us. We did not buy a Blu-ray player. It just so happens that when we bought the Xbox One, it comes with Blu-ray. So we've had it for a few months now.
Its updates finally were done.
Its updates were finally done. They finished updating yesterday. So we figured, what the heck? We got it from Redbox, and they said, hey, we've got Blu-ray. And sure, why not? So that was our first Blu-ray disc. And Christen the player.
You see how in sync we've become here, people?
That's right.
No,
Blu-ray
weird.
Player, first movie, same movie. Mm.
Same weekend. Anyway,
that's right.
So thoughts? I didn't think it was as good as the first one. It was still definitely entertaining. It was a good watch. I'd watch it again, but I don't think it was quite up to the first one.
Yeah, I think it's tough with a lot of these, and I was thinking about this because, so many times with the first movie of a series, you have that shock and awe factor. You have a little bit more time to get invested in it. You're spending a little bit more, or paying a little more attention in character development and all that kind of stuff. And you get a stronger perception of the movie.
It's that first high.
Yeah. And then, so a sequel comes around, and because you've already spent time knowing the characters, I think we don't get as invested in it. And even if it is similar quality in the movie, it doesn't come across that way because we don't spend, we're not as emotionally tied or, focused in watching it. There are a few movies that I would strongly say that doesn't apply to. The How to Train Your Dragon movie is one of those for us.
Matrix.
Matrix is for you?
Yes. First one is good, but the second one is the best.
I would argue too that the Pirates of the Caribbean movies I think are all fantastic as standalone movies.
Agreed.
Doesn't matter which one you watch, I think they're all great. But yeah, I think I kind of share the same sentiment as you on this one. Now, part of my problem with this movie is not the problem with the movie, but it was playing at Walmart when we bought it, and I kind of got the climax there before watching the rest of the movie. So kind of
ruined it. Spoilers.
Kind of I totally spoiled it for myself. But I mean, all in all, yeah, it wasn't a bad quality movie. There's I think Adam Sandler should probably stick to voiceover roles because his own movies clearly are not awesome. But one man's opinion there.
Yeah, I feel like he's hit or miss.
Yeah, Wade, what were your thoughts on the movie overall?
I thought it was generally entertaining, and obviously I kind of wanting to see the second one because I've already seen the first one. It was like, what the hell? Why not? It was still had a pretty decent amount of laughs to it. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't seen the second one, it's a good to see it. Just to see it.
And it was a good
especially
watch.
Especially if you saw the first one. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good watch. I'd watch it again. I don't have the itch to go back and watch it again. But I would. I could sit through it again.
It'd be that time killer again. Yeah. Or if you had like a friend came over and they'd be like, oh, I haven't seen that. It's like, oh, all right, here we go.
Yeah. I can tolerate it again, but I'm not dying to put it back in the player and sit down and watch it.
So. Agreed.
Okay. Agreed. Cool. All right. Now we can jump to the news.
Are you sure we can do it this time?
I'm never sure of anything.
It's a good way to be. Okay, so.
The fact that you asked the question, though, I'm a little disappointed.
I'm sure if we should move on. I don't know.
So, exciting news this week, at least if you live in New York City.
New York.
If you asked my kids, we did for a while.
Other than a massive storm headed their way?
Yeah, not that.
No, that's not the good news. This news, though, will make you hate your internet service provider even more. And let's admit it, none of us really like our ISPs.
Ours isn't bad. I would like it to be faster. I haven't had too many outages with them, but like we keep talking about, it'd be nice to have a little bit more choices and competition.
Absolutely. So this week, launching in New York, well, piloting in New York, is a company called Link NYC. They have obtained the rights to all the old telephone boxes. You know, the old standalone payphone.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Stands that nobody uses anymore. And they're turning them into Wi-Fi pylons.
Hmm.
But here's the interesting twist. They're going to be providing free Wi-Fi. Their source of funding is... The pylons themselves will have screens on either side that will display advertising. So not pop-up ads, not ads in your browser, but actually physical ads on the Wi-Fi tower.
Digital billboards on the deal.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So apart from that, apart from the visible ads, it's completely free. And the pylons are connected to the internet backbone by fiber. Each one fiber connected.
Oh, Jesus.
So, the pylons connection is gigabit. Each one is gigabit. Which translates into early tests. Obviously, not many people are on it yet. And that's going to degrade with use. You know, as more people get on it, there's... bandwidth gets shared, but correct. At least for the beta test, the journalist who wrote this up from Engadget was given access and was seeing download speeds of 280 megabits and upload of 317.
And that's wireless, folks.
And that's wireless.
That is nice, but yeah, like you said. I mean, you're talking a pretty selective population on it. You start getting the bulk of the population connecting to it as they're walking around the streets, jumping from hotspot to hotspot. You're definitely going to see a difference in performance then.
Oh, absolutely. But you figure, I mean, that's, what, 10 times? That's an order of magnitude faster than most people's home connection. Even if you degrade that by 50% or 75%, you've still got a damn good connection for free.
And let's be honest here. When you're out and about, you're not comparing it to your home connection. You're comparing it to your cellular data connection.
And could you imagine how pissed off the cell providers are going to be when you stop using their data?
Uh-huh.
I'm actually surprised people haven't done this earlier. You know, I just look up for kicks, looked when the first mobile phone was... well, announced. And it was on April 3rd, 1973, by mm-hmm. Motorola.
The brick.
Yeah. And how long have we been, you know, it's 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we've only had data on our phones for, what, 10 years?
Yeah, probably about that.
Because I remember my phone in high school did not, I mean, you know, it definitely didn't have data at that point, but we weren't that far away from it. We were only a few years out. So I'm going to say about 10 years.
We had Snake.
We had Snake, and we loved Snake.
That was the important thing.
I miss Snake.
I'm pretty sure you can find a way to play it on.
Yeah. You're kidding me? You can probably play it in your web browser now.
It wouldn't be the same, though, without those 8-bit graphics.
I'm pretty sure they could rearrange. They can do that in the web browser.
Pixel size is 5 inches. All right, go.
It can be arranged.
Yes, it can. Well, very cool. So potentially free Wi-Fi. When is this expected to go live? Or is it live?
No, so it's in beta testing right now. They are... Let me find this. They plan on having 500 pylons up and running by July. They're planning to bring it out of beta once they have 200 units deployed. That way there's a decent coverage area.
Is there any numbers as to what they feel that the hotspots... Realize hotspot isn't necessarily the right word. Access point is probably more applicable. The amount of connections they can handle?
No, there's no details on that.
Okay.
But they're planning to continue their rollout and by 2020 have about 4,500 kiosks in the wild.
Well, that's awesome because, I mean, I know there's, what is it, Denmark has free countrywide Wi-Fi or something like that.
Really?
There's some country in Europe that is free nationwide Wi-Fi.
Cool.
You know, talk about how far back we are.
You know, yeah.
We got some learning to do. We got some steps to take. As long as the problem is, there's money involved, and whenever there's money involved, you got people going to be standing in the way because they want that money in their pocket.
Well. Funny you should mention how backwards we are. That ties in very nicely to one of the other things I was going to bring up, and that is last week, the FCC released a report detailing how far behind we actually are, and pointing a big finger at AT&T, I won't say which finger.
The one that matters.
Turns out we are already at the position where we should already have chips in our heads and we are connected to the global universal education think bank.
Yeah, and there's a problem with that. You want NSA, you're worried about NSA now and now you want a chip in your head?
That's not what I said. Turn off. By now we would have been if it wasn't for these ISPs.
Well, AT&T was not impressed. Very, very unhappy with the FCC for releasing this report, which essentially called them out for holding the country back. It's been AT&T in a lot of cases that provides service for the areas where cable isn't viable to be laid, and they have not done a whole lot to upgrade their networks. Essentially, you know, locking in the single source for internet and not progressing, I suppose, is the best way to put it. They haven't invested in technology to make internet any faster for those that can't get cable.
Yeah, and
like me.
And then what do? They buy out DirecTV and they do whatever it is they're doing with that.
Yeah.
Monopoly! Just saying.
Okay.
Okay, Wade?
Going on from that oddly opera-ish ending, we come into something that I'm actually really happy to hear. How am I going to put this? I guess, enter it like this. When kids open Minecraft, Microsoft doesn't just want them to explore dark caverns, endless plains, and procedurally generated mountains. It wants them to explore places carved out of the world like ancient Pompeii, pyramids of Giza, and Greek temples. Places they can learn from to start making that happen. Microsoft today, being the 19th when this article was written, the announcing Minecraft Education Edition, a new version of Minecraft that is customized for schools.
I think this sounds awesome.
I don't disagree, but what's unique about this version? What sets it apart? apart from just being branded for education?
I'm glad you asked.
Funny you should ask that.
For now, the changes aren't dramatic. Minecraft Education Edition is essentially the exact same Minecraft you've been playing for years, but with a few extra features geared towards ease of use. That includes...
Can you believe it's actually been years?
No.
No, wait, that kind of... Oh, wait, that is right.
That is right.
Oh,
wait,
I feel... Oh, God, I feel old. No.
Yeah, pretty much. Sorry, go on.
Improving Microsoft. Improving Microsoft, that sounds great. Improving Minecraft's mapping features so the class can actually find its way around, letting teachers lock in certain resources for the students to use, and adding an in-game camera, which is kind of odd, considering we already had one on our first-person perspective, but whatever, and a scrapbook to handle screenshots for cataloging where you've been. Microsoft is quickly emphasizing, is quick to emphasize, it's keeping the changes minor because it doesn't want to make Minecraft into a straight educational product. But still, the game first and foremost, and therefore some kids want to use just that, happens to be the applications in the classroom.
I think if they're going to add major monuments like that that actually have historical accuracy and they're putting in information that is informative and, again, accurate, I think that's awesome. I'm a fan of the ancient Greek world and the multiple, you know, the polytheistic mentality, but how the gods are not this, you know, goal
divine
to aspire
being.
To. I mean, they're divine in a sense, but they're you know, riddled with character flaws, just like man is. You know, is very entertaining to me. I'm not saying I believe in the religion, but the stories are entertaining.
Okay, go look up Zeus and see what he did.
Zeus was a whore. just say it. Kind of a chauvinistic whore. But, you know, if they're putting in, you know, ancient Greek temples or the city of Pompeii, you know, maybe a before and after, you know, when the volcano went off. You know, the tombs...
After Earth covered in lava.
That's right. The pyramids of Giza and the tombs that might be semi-excavated that have information as to who was buried there, the lineage, what they were buried with, this, that, and the other, definitely has some solid benefits from that sort of thing. I mean, think about being able to have somebody, you know, replicate Mount Rushmore or Statue of Liberty or whatever for, you know, kids that may never be able to see these places in real life and be able to still get some sense of the scale for what it is and the significance of it.
I know a few people who could probably do that.
I have a few ideas too, but that's my point. That's my, what I'm saying is the potential capabilities and benefits, because there are a lot of people that will never be able to travel to see places like that. And to be able to, you know, give them a perspective of it from the eyes of a Minecraft scale could really inspire people.
Oddly enough, there is a picture here. It's a Minecraft world recreates the human eye. So, like, you apparently, like, I'm looking at this. Apparently, there are stairs where you can actually go up into the eyeball itself. And I assume being within the classroom, you know, the teacher could point out, you know, where everything is and laid out in the eye in blocks.
In an interactive manner that has people engaged and not just glazed over looking at it overhead.
In a textbook.
Yep.
And continuing on, the success of Education Edition may rest on another big piece of Microsoft's announcement. It is also launching a website where educators can submit Minecraft worlds and lesson plans to glow along with them. They are already a few up as an example. One includes a map style of feudal Japan.
So that'd be cool.
From the discussion of Japanese pottery. Another uses Minecraft bricks to great effect to display brutalist architecture. While a third includes enormous molecules that can be explored. Kids won't be solving puzzles or taking quizzes in these worlds, Minecraft will essentially just be a way to let them step into historical and scientific settings to get a better understanding of what's being taught in the class.
I think it's great. I mean, think of an adventure map, Wade, that's purely of an educational mindset. Which is what I imagine it's going to be. Essentially, adventure maps that have, maybe they're guided, maybe they're go to this, go to that, you know, whatever, but they're, like one of those says, a molecule, or like you said, an eye, or a nervous system, or whatever. The pyramids. I think it's brilliant.
I'm trying to figure out, oh, wow. Oh. I'm looking what brutalist architecture is. This is some really awesome looking buildings.
Okay.
That building looks like a TIE fighter.
Oh, yeah, that
links will be in the show notes.
One does look kind of like a TIE fighter. That's pretty cool. But let's see. Brutalist architecture is a movement in architecture that flourished in the 1950s to mid-1970s, descending from the modernist architecture movement of the early 20th century. The term originates from the French word for raw, or a term used by Le Corbusier. It's French, so I don't know. To describe his choice of material, which was raw concrete.
These buildings are awesome looking. I really want to see some people build some of this stuff in Minecraft.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that is. There was a fountain like made out of like, what's it called? Like a vent duct pipe. That's awesome.
Yep. Very cool. And I mean, depending on the school, you know, level, the grade level, a lot of these kids are familiar with Minecraft, so you don't have some archaic or foreign program that they've got to try to acclimate to. They're already familiar. It's just a matter of giving them worlds to that have benefit.
No, and I could definitely see almost kind of like a questing system with, you know, they have to answer questions produced by NPCs, you know, to continue on, you know, at what time period was, you know, the feudal Japan set in? Yep. Obviously feudal, but you know what I mean. Like, at what
what were the years?
And what major, you know, technological advancements happened during that time?
Yep, or whatever. No, yeah. I think it's brilliant.
And then, like, somehow be able to use that technological advancement to continue on.
I agree. Well, we talked last week about technological advancement in the form of SpaceX having a rocket, the Falcon 9, being able to land, the primary boosting unit, being able to land after separation from the next stage. And we're successful last week. this week, not so much. They had another Falcon 9 rocket target a barge being towed behind a large ship. It pinpointed the landing spot. And that's where it all went wrong.
Uh-oh.
So, apparently, well, the video is spectacular as it shows the rocket landing dead center on the target and shuts off its booster. And all things seem well and good, and then it falls over and explodes in a spectacular fashion.
But not the spectacular you're looking for.
Not the spectacular SpaceX was looking for.
this is not the spectacular you're looking for.
The reason for the incident was a landing leg that failed. A collar, locking collar, didn't fully engage, and it's being the initial blame is being put on ice buildup,
preventing one guy named Jack.
Yeah, Jack is now fired. No, but there it's being blamed at least currently on ice buildup as it reentered the atmosphere, preventing that leg to fully engage and stabilize the rocket. Now, when you look at it, I think the legs look pretty small compared to how high and I assume top heavy this thing is, but I'm not a rocket scientist, so I don't know. But Elon tweeted, best guess for 2016, 70% landing success rate. So still a few more RUDs to go. Then hopefully improving to 90% in 2017. And then he commented or tweeted again. He said, well, at least the pieces were bigger this time. Won't be the last RUD, but I'm optimistic about upcoming ship landings. So,
I'm getting an Iron Man 1 flashback. How did you handle the icing problem?
That's kind of, yeah. I mean, that's what it's being you know, blamed at. The company managed to land its rocket on solid ground in December last month, but landing on the ocean platform would give the company more flexibility in recovering their rockets. Some launch trajectories don't end over land. The ocean platform can be wherever the rocket goes. So,
you know, the really cool thing about this is he's playing with free money.
To elaborate?
Well, think about it. In traditional rocketry, the booster stage is a throwaway anyway.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
My retort, though, is what did that booster cost versus the booster that they're developing that they're losing when these incidents occur?
Oh, you know, you're right. There is probably a slight difference in cost between a completely disposable booster and one that they're trying to recover. But it's not the entire cost of the rocket, right? I mean, these things were designed to be disposable anyway.
Yes.
So he's taking something that is designed to be disposable and trying to make it not. So, you know, he has this thing that they don't care. It was gonna be trash anyway. And he has this opportunity, and reading some of the numbers, apparently the booster stage is actually the most expensive. And if they can get the recovery consistent and safe, it will reduce the cost of satellite launches. I want to say it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 75%.
Oh, I believe it. I mean, like you said, they were disposable. The previous models and manufacturing and whatnot from different companies was a disposable unit. It detached from phase two and just drifted off in space somewhere or calculated to just land in the ocean and sink and be gone. Now we have a company who's taking that concept and saying, you know, we spend a lot of money on this piece of trash. How about we not make it trash?
Yeah.
And in that regard, you're totally right. And, you know, spending the money now in order to save that much money in the future is obviously solid, provided you have the money that you can dispose of now.
Well, of course he does. We're paying for it.
That's true.
These are not launches for fun. These are commercial space launches.
Yeah.
He's launching satellites for companies. He's launching supply missions to the space station.
Yep.
I mean, that's what I mean by he's playing with free money. We, the taxpayers, are paying for the supply runs to the space station, and the companies, whichever ones, are paying for the launches of their satellites. So it's all being paid for anyway, and he's just, you know, well, hey, while we're at it, let's try this.
Yep. And let's just make a point here. Just because the Falcon 9 rocket exploded on... failed to be saved upon landing doesn't mean that the mission was a failure.
Correct.
It still went up. It still launched the satellite. It still accomplished the primary goal.
This was just a bonus.
Yeah, the secondary goal, we're not quite there yet. But we're close.
But we're close, and it's a bonus. You know, this is the icing on the cake. The job he was paid to do got done pretty much flawlessly. And then, you know, he took the leftovers and tried to do a little side project.
Correct.
And that didn't work out so well, so we'll try again next time.
And I think what I love about it, too, is his tweet saying, hey, we're expecting only a 70% success rate here. We kind of expected this to fail. We were hopeful, but listen, we're not idiots here, so.
We're doing rocket science. We're not idiots here.
We're not idiots. We're not hopelessly optimistic.
Rocket Science? But yeah, you know, failure is always an option, and but failure is not pointless, right?
Correct.
They gathered data from this. They're going to go back and analyze the video and the telemetry and look it over, and they learned from this. So
more than any of us will ever know the amount of data they were able to capture from this situation.
Absolutely. Did it suck? Sure. Would it have been nice if it worked flawlessly every time? Absolutely. But, you know, the data collected will help them make the next one better.
Yep. SpaceX. It's the future.
It's our next favorite company.
That's right. Well,
it's related to our last. I was going to say it's related to our last favorite company too.
That's right. I mean, it's under the same general umbrella in terms of CEO, so, you know, take it for what it is. But we are at the 55-minute marker, so I think we should just about call it here.
Isn't it funny that Elon Musk has been compared with Tony Stark, and you just made the comment, Wade, about the icing on the rocket reminded you of Iron Man? There's a reason for that.
He seems like he could pull off the Tony Stark thing, too. I mean, he's not an old guy. He's extremely intelligent. He's obviously, kind of a crap phrase, but hip with the times. You know, he knows what's going on in the world. He's making steps to progress some of those things. He's got more money than he knows what to do with, so he's blowing up rockets because, let's see if it works.
He's just eccentric enough without being Howard Hughes.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, he's personable. He'll talk to the media. He doesn't come off as a creep, but he's a little out there.
Yep.
Yeah, he could pull that off, totally.
That's right.
Speaking of which, of Iron Man, there was actually a guy in Tibet who was actually able to make a robotic arm that, that actually took signals from his brain, and it... to use it as his own hand, or as his own arm.
We are...
I'm trying to figure it is. It's like, he's actually using it.
We are not far away from having a legitimate robotic prosthetic that operates off brain signals instead of other muscular inputs.
Scary, isn't it? And exciting.
Very. But we are at now the 57-minute marker, so let's go ahead and wrap this up. We do thank you for listening once again. We're glad the whole crew was back this week. We encourage you to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/abundance.not. We are on Twitter @abundancenot. I think we're over the 600 follower mark, by the way. We're going to take a look at that here in 1 second. Wade is @AAONCWAL599. And yes, we are at the 602 followers. So thank you very much to our followers. Keeping up.
You guys rock.
And with that, we'll see you next time.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.